Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo, coming to you live from the Bill Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. We got Phil Sims joining us at 8 a.m., I do want to present a scenario for you if you're one of these GM candidates, but I feel like we were just on the telepathy tapes thing. We did get a call on it. The telepathy tapes is a podcast that is very popular that Al started listening to and then told me to give a shot, and I am now fascinated with it, where nonverbal autistic children are reading, or at least the parents are claiming that they're reading their minds, that the autistic children are reading the parents' minds and can read minds. And then when you hear this evidence, and I did go on some of the website here, and you do have to pay to see some of this stuff. You could tell, though, the one child, Akil, does not have assisted communication at all. He's just typing himself. I'm convinced. So Regina in West Islip has called, and she wants to add to this. Regina, good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
So what do you have to add to our discussion here?
Well, I have a 32-year-old autistic son, and for a very long time, we were a little concerned or a little a suspect of his abilities. We would hide his cookies or hide certain things, and he would know exactly where they were. Him and I have a very, very high connection, and then we were introduced to RPM. We realized that actually he was reading my mind, and it sort of unfolded. And then when we listened to these telepathy tapes, we were just sure of this phenomenon.
So he was listening to these telepathy tapes himself with you?
Christopher listens to them with us.
Yeah. Yeah, he does. Okay. And what you said RPM? What is that?
That's a rapid prompting method. It's the method of communication using a letter board.
Okay.
So Christopher would tap out letters, you know, answering questions, learning academics. And so as he was typing, I realized that he was taking thoughts from my mind.
Well, I mean, as a parent of an autistic child, that had to be an unbelievable moment when you realized it.
Oh, absolutely. It was an unbelievable moment, first of all, to get the RPM experience, and then to also get the experience of having him be able to be connected to me in that way.
How long has the RPM experience been around?
Well, we've been using it for 6 years, 7 years, so it's probably been, I don't know, maybe 10, 15 years.
So what do you say to the people that are highly skeptical of this and don't understand how something like this could go on, and Because it does. I mean, it's foreign. It's bizarre. It could change the way we look at the human brain forever. What do you say to the skeptics?
Well, I say just open your mind. Open your mind, and you know, these kids were put here for a reason. And all these years, we have assumed that they were disabled, that they were the ones that needed to be educated, and they didn't have much of an idea of what was going on in this world. And it turns out they know exactly what's going on in this world. They have a different perspective, and they're actually the future.
I can't even imagine what that must have been like for you and Christopher when you found out and you felt like this was, you know, even capable, that he was even capable to communicate back to you. I'm just wondering, does it just keep growing and growing and growing as his knowledge just keeps surprising you at every turn?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely it does. And you realize he's here to teach you. And not the opposite. I mean, I was always of the mindset that I'm going to challenge him. I'm going to give him all that I can give him so that he lives the best life that he can live. And it turns out that it's him that's teaching us about pure joy and pure love and unconditional love. I mean, my son Christopher has no ability to be jealous or to be vindictive or to be anything but unconditional love and joy, because that's just who he is.
Have you done some of these telepathy tests with him where you show other people in the family that he can read your mind and prove to them?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yes.
So how does that go? Like, if someone shows up to your house that's a skeptic about it, how do you show that person that he can do this?
Well, you just take the board out, you know, and then you say to them, you know, think of a word, and then put the board in front of Chris and he taps it out.
And so it's not just you he has this ability with, it's other people as well?
Well, like I said before, it's a matter of trust, and it's a matter of, his ability or his comfortability with everybody.
Yeah, I did hear that through the podcast as well, that if it's someone they don't trust, they don't know, they can't tap in.
Right.
But once if there's someone who believes in it and they can trust that person, then all of a sudden that connection appears. It is mind-boggling,
right.
Truly, truly mind-boggling.
Yeah, it is. It's very mind-boggling, but it's real.
Yeah, well, Regina, I believe it's real, and I said before, I'm a cynic, I'm a skeptic, but listening to the podcast and listening to you, I do believe it's happening. So thanks for calling in this morning.
Noah, thank you so much for all your help in getting this out.
No, of course, absolutely,
yes, yeah, 100%.
You know what? I'm going to put Regina on hold. I mean, call me crazy, and I don't know how mobile Christopher is, but to have him in, have him read our minds.
Thinking Boomer and Geo live.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he's got to trust us. He's got to believe in us. I don't know if he watches us with Regina. I'm not
well,
sure.
But he could at the very least, read Regina's mind in front of us.
And he would definitely trust Eddie. Eddie's very trustworthy.
Oh, yeah.
Thinking of a word.
I'm thinking of it. Yes. It's atheism.
Wolf.
Wolf. Leonard Nimoy.
I just think it's great for parents to be able to find out something about their child when they thought that maybe there was no hope, and then all of a sudden this RPM thing comes out. It's got to be amazing for them to really unlock who their children are in this situation.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the first part of it. And the second part of it, where they're reading the thoughts of people, is just like how? How? I mean, it's really incredible. And if you listen, there's probably a ton of people listening like, this is just impossible. I don't believe you. I don't believe any of these people. And I can understand why you would be cynical, but just give it a shot. Give it a shot and look at the research. Listen to the podcast.
And what's the name of it now?
The Telepathy Tapes.
The Telepathy Tapes. And it's a podcast, so it's not video?
Well, there's video on their website.
There is video on the website. Okay.
There is video on their website, but it is a podcast right now. All right. So I want to present this scenario to you about the Jets. So I was thinking about Mike Greenberg, not the ESPN Mike Greenberg. I'll say that every time because people get confused. So Mike Greenberg is going to be interviewing for the Jets general manager position. Mike Greenberg grew up on Long Island. Mike Greenberg grew up a Jets fan. He has now worked his way up through the NFL in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers front office, and he is a highly respected guy.
I just had an epiphany. Is this the football version of David Stearns?
It kind of is. It kind of is. So that is, the, you know what? That's very good. I had not thought about that. But David Stearns was running that organization.
Yeah.
Mike Greenberg has been more of an assistant, a cap guy, that thing. He's looking to get his opportunity.
No, that's how Mike Tannenbaum started. He was a cap guy.
Yeah, and David Stearns also took this job knowing that Steve Cohen was the owner. You know, when the Wilpons were the owner, who knows if he would have taken the job. So here you are, you're Mike Greenberg. You're in a great situation.
But I will just say this, Woody Johnson will spend whatever it takes.
Yeah, I'm not worried about that.
Right, and he has shown that he will give the front office what they need in order to win until he becomes frustrated, annoyed, impatient, impetuous, and then gets involved.
Right, and we know that that's a negative part of his ownership. Okay, so if you're Mike Greenberg and they offer you this job, are you, having grown up a Jets fan, knowing how people go to this organization, get chewed up and spit out, all the things that I have talked about, you know, being a first-time general manager, first-time head coach, generally doesn't work out here when you're the New York Jets outside of Rex Ryan, and they offer you the job, are you doing the Ben Johnson and turning it down?
Absolutely not. You're taking a job 100% because of your fandom, because you're from here, and because you want to be the reason why, or one of the reasons why, this team is going to get back on track.
Man, you got to believe in yourself 100%.
That's the point. And, you know,
but
it's like when you walk into these meetings, like you want to, it's a tactful meeting. It's the personal connection that you have with the owner and the other people that are interviewing you. And can you get across to them your vision? And does your vision align with their vision? So I could see Rex Ryan walking in saying, hey, Mr. Johnson, hey, Christopher, hey, you know, Jaime, good to see you guys all again. Look, you know I bleed Jet Green. I'll go in there and I'll change that entire building. I mean, that's the way I think he would start the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Because he is so boastful and so, you know, he's just a big presence. And that's what I do love about Rex. He is a huge presence. And maybe he's been a little bit refined over the years. He's a little bit older. Maybe he's not quite as bombastic. I think he probably about is 85% of what he was in terms of that part of it. And maybe he is a little bit more refined. So that would be the kind of guy, Greenberg, that I think could work with a Rex Ryan, only because I don't know the personalities if they match, is I don't necessarily know that Mike Greenberg wants to be that out front GM.
Yeah, but I'm also, probably not, because he hasn't been that at this point, but I'm also curious of the hometown thing with an organization that's been in the toilet for a long time. So if you're Mike Greenberg and you get presented with, hold on, I know that this is why I'm asking you, because you did this. You went to the Jets.
I tried, yeah.
Right, so if you're Mike Greenberg, you get offered the Tennessee Titans job or the New York Jets job. Does being the hometown kid draw you to that place or repel you from that place?
That would be a little bit different because the Titans do have the first overall pick. And you know,
but they don't have the hometown. They don't have the fandom. They don't have all that stuff.
But they also don't have the pressure and the incessant negativity. And maybe they are negative down there just simply because, you know, they're going through another GM. They're firing more people just like they keep doing. It's dysfunctional. And they think they get the right person. They think they get the right person. Then they don't get the right person 2 years into it. They realize they don't have the right person. They get rid of them. I mean, they both come with pluses and minuses. I mean, but if you were a hometown guy and you were able to turn around a franchise, like I think David Stearns is living the dream right now.
Sure, absolutely. You know, and he also, that's a sport where, you know, there is a luxury tax, but there's no cap. Obviously, it's the richest owner in baseball. It's a no-brainer there. And yes, Woody will invest in everything, but he's also a guy who is, I mean, he's meddled. He's done some stuff that's to the previous general manager that no general manager would want done to them. So it's just like you believe in yourself, but can you be yourself in that job? Do you trust Woody Johnson to allow you to do the job? Because that's really the thing. So I wouldn't run away scared that you weren't believing in yourself that you could turn it around. What I wouldn't want to do, though, is to go there, then have him meddle, have him do my job, and now all of a sudden my name is attached to a negative part of the team that I loved growing up. That's what I wouldn't want. But if you're telling me I come in here and I'm doing the thing and I believe in myself, then sure, I'll take the job. But I don't want what happened to Joe Douglas happen to me. I just can't have that, especially growing up a Jets fan.
Yeah, but I don't know. You know, Woody's not getting any younger.
Yeah.
The older we get, the more impatient we become. Mm. And I just think that, you know, for him, he wants to make sure that whatever he does this time around is going to work. He's going to try to make it work. Now, whether it works with Aaron Rodgers for another year or not, that's a whole other story. But I still, like, I can envision Phil Savage and Rex Ryan and Aaron Rodgers. I could see that. As long as Rex and Aaron get along. And, you know, yesterday I was telling you, Aaron's like an energy vampire.
Yeah.
Take all the energy out of the building because everybody is deferring everything to him. Whether he's doing it on purpose, which I don't believe he is, it's just who he is and how people are reacting to him when he got here and the largesse of who his personality is. There's only one guy under the scenario that I'm talking about that I think that can come in here and quash that part of it. And that part of it, if they wanted to keep Aaron Rodgers, is Rex Ryan.
Yeah, people that they've interviewed so far. Yeah,
I don't think Mike Vrabel's coming here. So I think that's out the window. I think he probably could have a sit down with Aaron and say, look, I'm going to do this. This is the way it's going to go. And either if you want to do it this way, then we're going to do it this way and you can stay. If you're taking less money, we'd love to have you for another year. But, you know, I don't think that's going to be in the cards for the Jets. I just don't see that. I think that's going to happen with Mike Vrabel is going to sign with the Patriots this week. That's what I think.
Yeah. And it may be tomorrow because I think they're meeting tomorrow. But, you know, I think there's some collusion going on with John Gruden. I really do think so because his name was out there a ton. Teams, or, you know, the Bears might be interested. This might be
maybe they did.
Then all of a sudden, there's not a single person who.
Yeah, but maybe.
But what is the homework? It's all out there. We all know.
I understand that, but maybe they sat in a room with each other, whether it be ownership. I don't see the Bears doing that. I don't see like the Giants doing that. I don't see like these old family teams doing that.
Yeah,
it would have to be like a David Tepper. Jim Irsay.
Mark Davis. Do it again, but yeah.
But that would have to take that kind of guy that is going to do it. What that kind of owner.
Yeah. I mean, it's a shame. It really is a shame. Because if you watch him with Barstool, the guy deserves a shot, and you know he wants a shot. And whatever happened in the past now is in the past, and I'm sure he is apologized for it. He's moved on from it. He's probably learned from it. Whatever it may be, he deserves another opportunity.
I think they still have a lawsuit going.
Well, so is Brian Flores.
Yeah, I know, but that's different.
He's getting interviews, you know?
Yeah, but he's also coaching, too. I think that John Gruden might have been offered an OC job last year, and he turned it down.
Yeah, he's head coach, man.
Exactly.
He's the head bull coach.
That's why you can't hire Rex Ryan as some super special assistant to some other head coach. You just can't do that.
No way.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When you're operating at an enterprise level, nothing drives success more than effective team communication. Grammarly for Enterprise enables your company to work smarter and faster. Other AI tools can't quantify impact. With Grammarly, you get measurable results and actionable insights, like tracking key metrics that include brand compliance and readability from their effective communication score. Because when you're able to visualize your team's impact and compare performance against industry benchmarks, you can make data-driven decisions that improve critical business outcomes. So whether you need to streamline messaging between technical and marketing initiatives or cut down on emails between external collaborators, you can trust Grammarly to help employees communicate effectively across the board. Start boosting productivity company-wide with Grammarly. Visit grammarly.com/enterprise to learn more. That's grammarly.com/enterprise.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Phil Simms joins us at 8 a.m. Excited to talk to him. It's been a couple of weeks that I have spoken to him. I haven't heard from Phil. I know you've talked to him on the kickoff show, but I've missed Phil over the holidays here. So excited to talk to him at 8 a.m. Jerry Recco in here now with an update. What's up, Jerry?
We are brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. And we are also brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Yesterday, we did the Jason Whitlock story.
Yes.
About this time. Would you like somewhat of an update?
Yeah, please. I'd love an update.
I will just say, this is going to get ugly between Whitlock and Emmanuel Acho.
Oh, really?
So
has Acho responded?
So I have not seen a response, but my guess is one's coming.
Okay.
So here's Whitlock again on this Blaze Media yesterday. He's setting up a video he's about to play of Acho in his car praising Joy Taylor right before they're about to start working together. All right, okay. So this is the setup.
I want to play you a clip of when a woman has you by the balls, this is what you sound like. You sound like a simp. Let's play SOT number two.
Okay, so that's the setup, and now he plays. I'll play the video for you. It's 25 seconds. Here's the video of Acho. Again, this is back right before he was going to start working with her.
Just got done with rehearsal for the new show Speak, and I got to take a moment to shout out my co-host Joy Taylor. A woman, a black woman, Daily Show, sports. Do you all realize how hard it is to get into the position that she is in? So often there's misogyny and sexism running rampant in sports, and we don't even care what women have to say in sports. But Joy is not only in the position on television as a woman, as a black woman, but as an opinionist.
Okay. So that's the video that goes back a few years. That's resurfaced everywhere.
Yeah, it's resurfaced everywhere. Yes. A lot of people quote tweeting it going, man, that must have been life-changing.
Well, this is where it gets really nasty. Here's Whitlock coming out of playing that video.
I never want to sound like that. I never want to be that dishonest. Now, according to Nusheen and this lawsuit, and according to people that I know would know, connected to Fox Sports, this dude is banging Joy Taylor, or was at that time. Does he reference that at any point?
Like, this is...
It sounds like to me like he's going after Charlie Dixon.
Well,
it sounds like to
he's
me.
He's going after, and there's more to it. So here's the next one as he continues.
Does he... And boy, she got that good. Joy Taylor, she's amazing on air, but man, if you knew what it was like off air, you'd understand. Never mentions it. Doesn't come up.
All right, then one more from Whitlock, and then I'll get to Marcellus Wiley, who was involved here.
Okay. They both lost jobs, basically.
Yeah, Whitlock.
They lost that job. They were on that show, Speak.
Whitlock does a very good job of explaining how it was. You can make the case it was as much his decision as it was theirs because it was during the pandemic and everything.
Marcellus Wiley, not so much.
Correct.
Yes.
Here's Whitlock, who says, I'm basically a loser myself, and yet I couldn't do what he just did, meaning Acho.
I'm a degenerate, idiot, loser. All these sins that we're talking about, I'm capable of all of them. I've done some of them, but I keep it real with you all. I let you know that there's no way I could go on air and talk about Joy Taylor and be tapping that or have been tapping that or knew that she seduced me as part of getting. I couldn't do it.
So, I mean, this is
ugly. I mean, he's using words like tap and.
Yeah. Big old cans and all of that stuff. Yeah. Right. I mean, I don't know if there's like libel or slander or things, but I know when we talked about this, we would say these are allegations within the lawsuit.
That's why I started. He references the allegations and the lawsuit before he goes on this whole thing.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, that is important for him to preface it by that.
Yes.
Because then he's basically speaking these things as fact after that.
So now here's Marcellus Wiley, who he had on as a guest, if he's thinking of a wrongful job termination lawsuit, essentially.
Lawyers are reaching out to me because when they saw me get surprised by the allegations, especially the one about Charlie Dixon, they said, that is actionable. And now I'm trying to make sure that everything that I went through and everything that I read in that article is actually true.
Now, so part of this is he was let go, although as he says, they didn't fire him. They says, the show's over, let's come up with something else for you. And he goes, and no one ever came up with anything, and I was essentially let go. And then months later, or maybe a year later, they come back with the show with Joy Taylor and LaShawn McCoy. And then Acho was then hired after that, I guess, at some point. And then the last one from Wiley wants to make sure he was let go for these reasons.
Joy Taylor, I still see her all the time. I wasn't trying to burn her down, even though I knew what she was plotting. To me, that's just like going to coach after the game, say, hey, you know, if you give me the ball, I get more yards. But when you bring it from another perspective, that coach is actually doing something on the side, and that's influencing his decision more than just the production, just the numbers, that's a different conversation.
And that's where he's at. He's kind of up in the air with the whole thing. So this is beyond ugly.
Yeah, it really is. And I know that they're just trying to plow through it right now. No pun intended. They are. They're just doing their show and posting the videos, and they're talking about, you know, Mike McCarthy and whatever else. But, I mean, there's a lot of chatter about this, and people... I mean, I really, as much as I'm laughing at Jason Whitlock, I can't imagine what Joy Taylor, Emmanuel Acho, and Charlie Dixon are going through right now, especially if this stuff isn't totally true.
Right, yeah.
And they don't have right now or haven't been advised to defend themselves. So there is that part of it. There's also...
I think they probably have been told not to say anything.
Yeah.
And I also think that the lawsuit probably, you know, they tried to, I would think, go to Fox and try to do this out of court, out of the public eye, and get this person who is doing this to come to some sort of financial agreement and just move on. And I guess Fox probably did not offer enough, and therefore they are now, you know, sitting with this thing in the public domain.
Yeah, I mean, there's some, you know, if these things are true, this is in the lawsuit, these are allegations, but... If there is an investigation done, you find out these things are true, that Charlie Dixon's not going to have a job any longer, because there's also a part of this lawsuit where it says that his wife knew about these things and was on the Fox payroll to kind of just stay quiet, we'll give you some money, and then he's going to do whatever he does. Now, if they investigate that and that's the truth, I mean, that's just some real nefarious stuff for an executive. I mean, not only are you sleeping with employees, promoting them, but you're also, there's hush money involved here. It's a mess.
Didn't we just go through a hush money trial here in New York?
Once again, if these things aren't true, these guys are getting completely dragged through the mud here, and it's just not fair. So, like, it's a really, really, I mean, I was laughing my ass off, I'm not going to lie, about the peanut butter skin and the big cans thing. Like, if you're not laughing at that, you just don't have a sense of humor. But if this is all made up, I mean...
So
got to be careful, that's all I'm saying.
The point is that did the makeup artist make it all up? And why was the...
Or was it embellished?
Or was it embellished? Or were other people dragged into this thing to make it uglier than it really was?
Right.
And, you know, it's the other thing, too, here. And I'm sure that the lawyers at Fox are telling these people that are being accused of these things not to say anything. Don't say anything. We'll work through it. We'll get to it. And there's going to be some hard times early on, but we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. I mean, and a guy like, you know, if this were 20 years ago, you know, a guy like Jason Whitlock in that position would not be doing this. But because, you know, like, he's got the outlet, he can go and put it right out there. You know, there's no censorship. He's just bang. He's just out there. Feel that shaking?
What the hell was that?
Yeah, they're just doing work everywhere. Yeah.
Heavy work.
But now, in like this day and age, I mean, Jason Whitlock's just like firing away. You know, like, I got my show, I put it out on X, I got nobody to worry about censoring me, and that's just like the worst nightmare for
as long
for
as
Fox Sports One.
Words allegations, then he can just go off.
He also said, according to the lawsuit and people there, I know that would be in the know.
Yeah,
but he also reference that as well, on top of the lawsuit and the allegations. Who knows?
I wonder if he would be a part of the, you know, any part of discovery.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. I mean, I you know, if you're the lawyers for the makeup artist, wouldn't you go to other fired employees to build a case?
As many disgruntled employees that you could find.
The one thing that's not there, when usually you're kind of like, is the fact that she did attach her name to it.
Yeah, true. I mean, without a doubt. And as far as the other day, I mean, I remember I looked her up. Her Instagram was public. Like, she wasn't hiding from it. I don't know if she is now, but when it first came out. But,
yeah.
Well, she got let go for some reason.
Yeah, I don't think she just left. No.
I believe she was, you know, for lack of a better term, fired.
Yeah. And that obviously plays into it. We've just learned throughout the years that there's... You know, you have to take allegations seriously, but you also cannot just take them as fact.
Correct.
And you just got to be careful there. And listen, some of this behavior is inexcusable, of course, but I still, like, if Emmanuel Acho and Joy Taylor had a consensual relationship at work, that's not really that big of a deal. You know, so those two people in that situation, you know, are getting dragged through. However, if the executive is sleeping with an employee and promoting her based on that, that is a big deal. You know, and then
Did you have any relations with Mark Chernoff?
Sexual? No.
I didn't see that question coming out of left field.
Let's just get it over with. I can't do anymore. I just can't. I mean, things are going into my brain, but I just can't. I can't do it.
All right, yeah. The Jets interviewed Rex Ryan yesterday for their head coach job. We know that. They plan to interview Matt Nagy today and Kansas City Chiefs assistant GM Mike Borgonzi. I'll have more football.
You know, definitely didn't have relations with Mark Chernoff. CeeLo.
No, stop that.
Oh, man.
No.
Oh, boy. More football next hour for you. Just quickly, you've got tonight in the NBA, you've got the Thunder and the Cavaliers. And I reference it because you've got a 15-game and a 10-game winning streak on the line. Oklahoma City, 15 in a row. Cleveland, 10 in a row. They are a combined 61-9.
Is it the only game on the schedule?
No, there's other games. The Knicks play tonight.
Oh, the Knicks play tonight, right?
Knicks play the Raptors tonight. The Nets play the Pistons tonight on the Fan at 7:20. This was kind of cool, even if you can't stand them here in New York. This was Hawks Jazz tied at 121 in the final seconds.
Hawks don't have a timeout. Trey from midcourt to win it.
They sure did. Right after it was tied, they win it 124-121. Young right from the midcourt. It's unbelievable. Damn. Yes, I believe he had 20 assists in this game as well as they win. That was FanDuel TV with the call there. So that was quite the moment for them in Utah. As for the college ranks, your Red Storm, St. John's, was on the road last night. And all good for the Mink Man and the Johnnies.
Fremantle has the ball on the perimeter. Ball taken away. Here's Richmond. Deflects it to Wilcher, and he lays it up and good. Simeon Wilcher takes the pass from Richmond to St. John's. Scores in transition to go ahead 67-49.
And they would win 82-72. So 16 games, they're 13-3.
You know, when I was living in Cincinnati, Pete Gillen was out there coaching at Xavier. And we had Bob Huggins at the University of Cincinnati.
Mm.
You want to talk about some basketball games.
I can imagine.
I mean, they were great. You know, I was in the middle of my career when those guys were out there. And it was just, those games were unbelievable at those two institutions. And, you know, I don't know. I guess Xavier's kind of fallen off a little bit, right?
Yeah. This year, they're not good.
Right.
Yeah. Here is Rick Pitino. We almost played a complete game.
Well, for 37 minutes tonight, that's the best basketball we played this season.
So, he's expecting perfection from these guys, and they're winning. I mean, 13-3 is pretty damn good. The Rangers
almost... these games they lost are last-second shots and craziness down in the Bahamas.
Right, you can make every case that they're 15-1 right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Stars trailed the Rangers 3-0, down a goal in the third.
Rangers leading 4-3. Nice play by Sam Steele for Dallas on the takeaway. He's checked by Miller. Centers, shot by Hartley. He scores. The Stars tie it.
And that was Sam Rosen on MSG.
Loser, and the triple. You just heard that Sam Rosen basically says, nice play by Sam Steele on the takeaway.
Yep.
And really what he should be saying is, what a dumbass move by Keandre Miller for doing what he did and the way he did it. Now, there's a documentary out there called Enigma about Aaron Rodgers. The biggest enigma for me is this athlete that is Keandre Miller, who, by all accounts, has such a bright future. Physically, just looking at him, the way he skates, when he does stick handle, when he makes the right decisions, he's a little bit soft in his zone. But this turnover last night was mind-boggling, and this has been part of the Rangers' problem over the last 15 games. The decision-making, the giveaways, the turnovers, the goalies having to make save after save after save. 40 shots on net last night by the Stars. A wide-open middle in front of the net. I mean, I don't know what the coaches are teaching. I don't know what the players are thinking. And right now, even though they are, I think they're 2-1-1 in their last four, whatever it is, I mean, it's just, it's a pathetic way to lose a game.
Jamie Benn, by the way, the game winner in overtime.
No crap. Of course, their big stud shows up in front of the net. Nobody's in front of him.
Went off and you
pissed
off.
Panarin takes a freaking penalty.
Going crazy, yeah. All right. Thank you, Jerry. Right on.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Top of the hour, Phil Sims joins us in his weekly Wednesday football spot. So former Giants running back Brandon Jacobs put out this picture of Shedeur Sanders in a Giants jersey, flashing his diamond-encrusted watch. And it's from one of the gambling sites that came up with this. And it says, hypothetical trade. Now, just listen to this, all right? Giants receive first pick overall, 2025. The Titans receive the Giants' first-round pick, third overall. The Giants' 2025 second-round pick. The Giants' 2026 first-round pick. The Giants' 2027 second-round pick. And Brian Burns. So people see this. I mean, your reaction has to be mine, which is that's the most ridiculous haul you've ever heard in your life.
Well, this is why I was saying that if the Giants had the number one pick overall and that was an expected haul from somebody, then I would be trading it.
So people are just going crazy and responding to this, including our own Pat Boyle that said, you are smoking crack. And then Brandon Jacobs said, you think I made that? And then he started firing back at other people. And then said, I didn't make that. Stop coming at me sideways.
But the point being is that he probably went back and saw some other trades around the number one overall pick.
Yeah.
And then just took those trades and then tried to fit them into the Giants and what the Giants would have to do in order to get Shedeur Sanders.
Yeah. So Brandon Jacobs didn't make it. I think that he just put it out there for discussion. He didn't make it clear that he didn't make it and he had to fight off all these people. But yes, whoever did make it, you know, was going back and looking at some of the other stuff like that. The big trade. What was the last one? I guess the Panthers going up to number one, or
yeah, to get Bryce Young.
Yeah. So that was the last big one.
And you also had remember the Bears went up to go get Trubisky, I think.
Yes, they did.
I think the 49ers went up to get Trey Lance.
Yes, I think they did too. Yeah, they must have.
Who, by the way, didn't play all that bad last week.
Yeah, I didn't see much of that game.
Joe Milton III up there in New England, that guy came out and he exploded.
Let me tell you something. I would be all over that guy being my backup.
Yeah, but they're not doing anything with him. He's making no money. He's going to be there for another 3 years.
I'd give up a fifth round pick for him.
Yeah, but they don't want to get rid of him. They have two quarterbacks up there now. And the thing about Joe Milton, like I said,
he wasn't even their backup. Brissett was.
I know, but he was. I don't know if he was hurt or not, or maybe he just wasn't ready to go yet. I mean, you know, some of these kids got to learn how to play professional football and what it takes to learn the offense. And, you know, and that's why they have these wristbands now these days. But I would just say that, you saw him against the Buffalo Bills team. You know, they were trying to win, the guys that were playing, for sure. But what you saw is an explosive player. I mean, he's a big football player. He's like 6'5". He's like Anthony Richardson. That's what he's built like.
Yeah, but he's quicker. You know what I'm saying?
Right, and he may have, and this is one of the guys that I was talking to Phil about last Sunday when we were watching the games. He goes, Boomer, I think this kid has the strongest arm in football. Now, that's great to have a strong arm, and he had a good game, and it looked like he was really comfortable, but the game didn't mean anything.
Yeah.
I want to see 3, 4, 5 weeks of that.
But you're not gonna.
I know, you know. Because, like, well, as long as Drake May stays healthy.
Right.
But if you're the Patriots, you're not touching, you're not doing anything with those two quarterbacks. You're keeping them, you're bringing them back, whoever the new coach is going to want to build around. They got a lot of money in free agency this year. They have a high draft pick. I mean, they can remake their franchise this offseason, especially if they get the coach that they want.
Yeah, which we all think that they are going to get the coach.
I feel like it, yeah.
You know, and then obviously they've got, the fourth overall pick now? They dropped from one down to four.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, and what they need is they need wide receivers. They could be a team that could go after T. Higgins, and they could be a team that takes...
Travis Hunter?
No, Travis Hunter will probably be gone by then, I would think. But well, I would think that if he's there, they'll take him. But if not, they're going to take a top-end wide receiver or the top tackle on the board because their offensive line was in a state of flux.